The following program is sponsored by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Thank you for joining us today on Kingdom Connection. It's my prayer that God will use something specific in this broadcast today to really speak directly to your spirit. We're so grateful to have you with us on Kingdom Connection today. Let's go right into the service.
In Psalms, the 84th chapter, and it says, the chief musician, an instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah, and that's very important, a song from the sons of Korah, and I'll explain that in a few minutes. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. The tabernacle is the church, the place, the house of worship. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. This guy's missing church. My heart, my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may raise her young, even in your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King, my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. No matter what they go through, if they keep coming to the house of the Lord, they'll still be praising you. Whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. Now you run right over that, but you got to understand who he directed this song they wrote to. Whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. That's very important wording. It goes on to say in the next verse, they pass through the valley of Baca, that's weeping. The word Baca means weeping, and make it a spring. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Zion is the church. For the sake of time, I'll conclude with verse 10. For one day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. I'm not going to preach on all this. It's just too good to quit. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. And the church said, amen. We could just shout right there and have a good time. Psalms 23 is the most famous psalm of the book of Psalms, which is a book of songs. It's God's best hits, the top 50 or 100, 150. Psalms 51 is the repentance. If you ever feel guilty and ashamed of yourself and something you've done, pull out Psalms 51, read it out loud. It'll cleanse you. It'll wash you from head to toe. Psalms 91 is the psalm of protection. But Psalms 84 is known in theology as the pearl of Psalms. And it speaks directly to the yearly pilgrimage that the Hebrews were required to make to the temple of Jerusalem, actually more than once a year, a minimum of three times they had to go all the way to Jerusalem. There were seven feasts, and they were required by families to take their families on a long pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. And so when he writes the words, he's speaking to them. And a great feature of Hebrew life was going to the house of God, traveling with your family on the same road. And as they would pass villages, other families would join them, and there would be other families, and the the group, the gathering would get bigger and bigger. The traffic on the road, they would have to have tents. They would have to have a little cart, maybe a donkey pulling the cart, the little children sitting up. It was a playful, joyful, happy celebration. We're going up to Jerusalem to worship the King. And they were so excited about it. It was like a festive, joyful. They would sing songs along the journey. Somebody would just start singing, and all of the people for miles, they would be headed to the temple, and they would start singing and clapping. Sometimes they would be joyful songs, and they would start dancing. And you remember the story of Jesus getting lost when he was a child? This was they were coming from the temple, going back home, and Jesus got, as a little child, they thought he got lost. He was in the temple confounding the brilliant scholars with his wisdom. And so it was a family thing to go up to the house of God. I'm preaching today on the subject of church is a big deal to me. Church is a big deal to me. I could see them going on this road, journeying to the house of God with their families. It was usually a trek that would take them 3 or 4 days to get there. It was not an easy journey. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, geographically, Jerusalem is set on 7 mountains, and it's always going up to Jerusalem. It's always, the Bible talks about the Good Samaritan came down the road to Jericho because he was coming from the temple going to Jericho. Everything is down. Geographically, it is the center of the earth. Literally, the center of the earth is Jerusalem. I'm not making that up. Only God could have picked that place. And so miraculously, as they would journey, you can imagine it was hills. It was not just fun and convenient. It was hard sometimes. It was tough sometimes. It required effort. But apparently, something superseded the challenges of getting to the house of God. Something superseded in the minds of the worshipers the inconvenience, the awkwardness. It's kind of like the times we're in now. I see masks, and I see us doing all the restrictions that we're doing, going through what we're going through, and we could use that as an excuse, as something that's inconvenient, or it's just not like it used to be, or whatever we want to say. But overriding, superseding all of the excuses that they had to not go to the house of God was one thing. It's worth the trip. I don't care what mountain I've got to go over. I don't care what valley I've got to go through. I know we got to get up and pack and unpack the tent and sleep out and cook. But they were having fun, and they were building memories with their families that would stay in them passed down for generation after generation. That's why coming to the house of God and worshiping like this is so critical. You're giving something to your family that money cannot buy. In Psalms 48, now I just read Psalms 84, the sister psalm of Psalms 84 is Psalm 48. It's backwards. You get it? That's kind of cute too, right? Stay with me. I'm going to teach you a little bit, but we're going somewhere. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, Jerusalem, the mountain of his holiness, the temple mount. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, the temple, the church, the sides of the north, the city of our great King. Now I realize that verse where it says beautiful for situation has to do with the geographical location and how that it was high up and beautiful. It was positioned. What he's saying is its position is beautiful. It's perfect where God has put the temple geographically. But I want to preach it just a little bit and say that it doesn't matter the situation in your life. The church, the house of God, is beautiful for your situation. If your marriage is in trouble, this is where you need to come because it's beautiful for your situation. If your family's all jacked up and falling to pieces, bring all of them in here, all of them, every one of them, crazy attitudes, sit them down because this place is beautiful for situation. The Holy Spirit can still touch them. The Holy Spirit can still convict them. The Holy Spirit can still melt mean, cold hearts. The Holy Spirit can still make somebody forgive and move on and put it behind. That's, if you're sick in your body, this place is beautiful for your situation. If you need a miracle in your finances, this place is beautiful. There's hope here. There's faith here. If you're afraid, if you're worried, if you're stressed out, this place is beautiful for any situation you'll face in this life. Praise the Lord. I love this place. Church is a big deal to me. It's beautiful for any situation. If you're grieving and you lost a loved one, if you're joyful and you want to rejoice because God's been so good to you, it's beautiful for any situation. Beautiful. The sons of Korah, who wrote Psalms 84, do you know who Korah was? Korah's mentioned in the Bible as rebelling against Moses. And God so got upset with him that he opened up the earth and swallowed him up. See, every once in a while I get people who come against me, and I just want God to do that one time. Just show them I'm anointed. And open the floor up. I don't want them to burn them up. Just let them fall through. Maybe sprain their ankle or something. But the Bible said the earth, can you imagine? Fire reached up and grabbed their ankles and pulled them down. And I mean, Moses just standing there. I told you I was his friend. But do you know who the sons of Korah were? Seven generations later. Go study it. Seven generations later. The reason they became the musicians, the people who wrote the music charts, the orchestra parts, the songs, were the sons of Korah. And this is so interesting because not only did God swallow Korah up, but he forbid his family, any of his ancestors, to come back to the tabernacle. And for seven generations, no one from that family got to come. So when it says the sons of Korah, after being banished and banned for seven generations from being in the house of God, throw up Psalms 84 and verse 1. Let's read it now with a new revelation. Can you hear their hearts after seven generations of not being allowed, being under a restriction, worship ban for seven generations? How lovely! It's your tabernacle. Next verse. My soul longs. See, this wasn't some take it or leave it little deal about going to church. My soul longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I got to get to church. I got it. My heart, my flesh is crying out for the living God. Do you know they're doing that in China? There's millions of Christians in China. There's millions of Christians in the persecuted places all over the world. Where in Iran, in Iraq, there are Christian believers who would give anything. David didn't say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go back to the throne room. You know when do you understand chronologically where that famous verse in Psalms 122 came from? Do you understand when David wrote it, what the circumstances were? He had left, been forced out of Jerusalem, had to leave his throne. His own son Absalom had attacked and had temporarily overcome his forces, and he was running for his life. This is in 2 Samuel 15 or something like that in the Bible somewhere. And he was leaving, running for his life. Now watch this. And on his way out, some of his faithful, mighty men grabbed the Ark of the Covenant and said, the Ark, we know you want the Ark to go with you. And he said, no, take it back. Take it back to the temple. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, He will bring me back and show me both it and the dwelling place. I don't know what I'm about to go through, but I'll know that the favor of God is on me if I get to come back and get in the presence of God. I'm gonna go through a time where it's gonna be distant from God. I'm gonna go through a time where it feels like God doesn't remember who I am. But if he shows me enough favor to ever let me get back, I'll know that he has favored me. Every one of us ought to be shouting, because for 5 months we couldn't come in here, but we're back and the favor of God is back. The blessing of God is back. God is still on the throne and his church is still a beautiful for situation. Whatever situation we face at the end of this election or a pandemic or anything else, the church is beautiful for this situation. Hallelujah. My wife's sitting down here. She'll tell you, I enjoyed the pandemic for about a month. I shouldn't say that. You know what I mean. Not anybody suffering. But personally, it was almost like a sabbatical. I mean, I still had to preach, still had to study, still had to preach online. But it was just like But boy, I'm telling you, by about that third week, this is how you know whether you're saved or not. At some point, Sunday began to feel like any other day. And my heart couldn't stand it. My spirit couldn't stand it. Something in me said, this isn't right. We got to get back to church. Please, God, have mercy on us. There's no place like this place. My soul longs for you. My flesh yearns for the living God just to get in your presence. Unfortunately, some people have to be made to come to church. Back in Europe in the 1800s and even earlier 1600s, they would build something called the belfry, BELFRY. The belfry, they built one in every little village, every city. They didn't have the money or the people to build some huge, beautiful cathedral that had a bell tower where there was a big bell. They would build what was known as a belfry. And a belfry, sometimes they would put them on wheels. It was something that was built way up, and it had a big, much, much, much larger bell than this, but it had a big bell on it. And somebody would get up there and on Sunday morning, the day of worship, you would hear this all across the land. And that sound meant, get up. This is not just another day. That sound meant, oh, get your children ready, get your family ready, get the clothes packed. You ought to hear this in your spirit. This right here. Because never have your children needed to be in church more than they need it now. Never have teenagers needed to be. Never have kids need. Young couples. Nobody needs to not have the sound of that bell. I'm afraid the sound of the bell of assembly is being silenced in people's spirit. The devil is an opportunist, and he has moved in on millions in the church, and they don't get up on Sunday morning with the mindset, I got to get shaved. I got to, you women, you got to get shaved. No, you men, you got to get shaved. They don't get up throwing their clothes on. The bell was ringing to remind them, you need to show up in the house of God. And I told them when we leave, because we got one over there in that prayer, in that chapel, I said, I want you to ring the fire out of it. I want you to ring it in the neighborhood. I want you to ring it all over this parking lot. I want people to leave here with a ring in their heart that says, I love my church. I love worship. I love God. I know that it's beautiful for any situation life will. I'm so thankful. You told the Lord if you ever came back, you promised him you'd praise
him. Well, we're back. We have his favor. And you need to get caught up in praise. Just a minute. Would you give him praise? He's been good to us. He's been good to us.
You ever feel like sometimes I just got to get to Jesus? I've got to get there. I'm not going to be a backslider. I'm not going to let my family fall by the wayside. I'm not going to give up and turn back. I'm simply saying to you that it takes 21 days to develop a new habit. And they said that to develop a strong habit, it takes 66 days of consistency. You do the same thing for 66 days and you will develop a strong habit in that area. You drink for 66 days and get drunk, you're going to end up a drunk at the end. It won't even take that long. But you do anything 66 days. We were out of church trying to be good citizens, and we still are. Again, I honor and respect. Don't feel any condemnation if you're not released and you don't feel good about coming back and you got health issues. I'm not talking about any of that. But I am concerned. I feel a burden that millions of teenagers have fallen out of the regularity of going to church. And millions of Christians now, well, it's just, what difference does it make? It makes a huge difference. So much easier, Pastor, just to stay home. But Christianity was never designed to be easy. It takes consecration. It takes discipline. It takes dedication. It takes loyalty to the house of God. And it must be a part. You must have the ringing inside of you of the Holy Spirit saying, get to the house of God. An old habit is hard to break. I got an old habit that's stronger than my new habit of COVID of not going to church. My old habit was started by my mother. She bounced me on her knee. And I'd suck on a pacifier and watch the old Pentecostals church that I grew up in, watch the women shout their bobby pins out. Y'all don't even know what a bobby pin is. Mom used to have her hair that high, and I respect that. And when she would shout, she would do like that. And the pin, you had to duck. Boom, bam, boom. You might get one in your eye. Looked like a horse mane. Where can I go now? Where do I go when the troubles come and life is hard and I feel like giving up? Lead me to the rock. Lead me up there on top of that mountain, Mount Zion. Get me to the temple. Get me to the sanctuary. There's hope there. There's healing there. There's victory there. I can make it if I can get in his presence one more time.
Thank you so much for being with us today on Kingdom Connection. It's because of you we're on television right now. Our number one goal for being on television is to reach people with the gospel, to find the hurting, the broken, those that feel like they don't matter and don't count, and call them into a real loving relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're hurting today, and you're watching right now, and you want to give your life to Jesus, why don't you just repeat this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, just say those words. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You died and shed your blood to forgive me, and rose again to live through me. I give you my life. Give me your peace. Give me your help. Give me your purpose for my life. Help my family. Help me, direct me, guide me through this time. In Jesus' name, I don't want to be alone anymore. Amen and amen. I really want you to know a miracle just happened. Our team has prepared a special kit designed for your new walk with the Lord. We really want to help you. We pray that this 21-day devotional will bless you and guide you. Whatever season of life that you may be in, you'll sense the presence, the peace, and the goodness of God. For decades, I've set the beginning of the year for prayer and fasting. I know we're approaching Christmas and the holidays. We've come through so much with the election, and it's feast time again. Hopefully, we'll be able to get together with our families and have big Christmas celebrations. But this January, in just a few short weeks, we'll be coming together as a ministry to set aside the first of the year and seek God in fasting and in prayer. For 21 days, we will seek the face of the Lord. Our team has put together some unique resources to help you plan and prepare and to build your faith for a successful fast. You can do it. And please know that your gift of support to this ministry helps us keep preaching the message of Jesus Christ all around the world in over 200 nations all over the world. You keep it going. You make it happen when you give. That's our primary reason for being here. Everything else is just that we do. And we do a lot of missions and we do a lot of support stuff. But the primary reason we're here is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to 200 nations through this broadcast and create inspirational resources to use and bless people's lives and tell them more about Jesus. Thank you. Please help us end strong this year. Give an unusual gift. We need your support to do what God has called us to do. Thank you.
Are you ready to transform your life? Now you can experience Jensen Franklin's dynamic teaching on fasting in his New York Times best-selling book, Fasting. You'll receive the keys to encountering the countless rewards and blessings of fasting that open the door to a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. Everything you need to access the power of biblical fasting is found in the 2020 Fasting Kit, including the types of fasts in the Bible, the secret to a successful fast, choosing the right fast for you, the connection between fasting and prayer, how to begin and end your fast, the essential components of a successful fast, what to expect physically, mentally, and spiritually. With your generous gift of $1,000 or more this month, you'll not only help us preach the gospel through the broadcast to over 200 nations globally, but help us go above and beyond to help our partners in Israel. You can request the 2020 Limited Edition Fasting Kit, plus this stunning ornament made with soil from Jerusalem. We'll also include this specially created blanket inscribed with the Numbers chapter 6 blessing and our special edition Legacy Bible with over 300,000 words of commentary, including highlights from Jensen Franklin's fasting teachings. Or with your best gift of $50 or more, you can receive Jensen Franklin's Fasting Kit and get ready for God's power to break through in your life. Fasting is a tremendous weapon and a source of power in the life of every believer. Experience it today.
Sharice and I want to invite you to join us on our Holy Land tour. It's an amazing trip, unlike anything you've ever experienced. And we'll be on the trip. We get on the buses. Our family will be on there. And I promise you, it will change your life. You've been thinking about it. You've been praying about it. This is the year to go. God's going to open your eyes to things you've never seen and experienced before in the Holy Land. Get signed up today.
This program has been sponsored by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.